Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. All right, we got some applause on 1 Samuel. I love it. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Today's topic is Abigail, a woman of conviction. And David, the future king of Israel, really met his match in this woman, Abigail. Ended up marrying Abigail. We're going to let Abigail teach us some principles today. We're going to gain those principles from Abigail today, from Scripture. You know, I think about when we talk about Mother's Day and the ladies in our life, the impact of ladies in our life. You know, ladies were lifted up by the Lord Jesus Christ in a culture which that was more unusual in the days of Jesus. You know, women were in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about Rahab and Tamar and Ruth and Mary. Jesus communicated significantly with women as he shared the message of his kingdom. You think about the woman at the well, the tremendous lessons we receive from that particular passage of scriptures and so many others. Jesus on the cross asked John to take care of his own mother. You remember that story from John chapter 19. And then when the Lord Jesus rose from the grave, it was women who took that message to the disciples. And many have cited that as one of the reasons they know the resurrection was another validation of the resurrection, is because in that culture, if you were trying to write the script on a story, you would not necessarily have used the ladies to be the ones that initially made that illustration there, and yet that's exactly what we find in Scripture. And so today, being Mother's Day, a special day, I just wanted to take this time to take a look at the life of Abigail. You think about in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 and 19, the writer of Proverbs says there's four things that are too wonderful for me, things that are hard for him to understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock. I don't like snakes, so I don't know a whole lot about that. But anyway, he was amazed by that. The way of a ship in the sea, and then the way of a man with a maid, okay? We have some engaged couples around here. I think Melody Gladders and Matthew Barber are going to be getting married here coming up soon. I think Philip Heitzler and Catherine Woods are engaged. They're going to be getting married soon. I want you to think about David. In many ways, David, in this story in 1 Samuel 25, you learn about a woman of conviction, and David was introduced to this lady. It's a powerful, powerful story. The future king of Israel met his match in our passage today. So I'd like you to look in your copy of God's Word. I'm going to read from mine. This is 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now, I'm going to read quite a few verses, so hang with me. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I'm going to read this story about David and Abigail. This is 1 Samuel 25, verse 1. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now, there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, here's the story, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, 'Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have.' Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes. For we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and they waited. Verse 10, then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away, each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" Verse 12, so David's young men turned on their heels and they went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us," describing the protection that David's men had given them when they were shepherding those sheep. It says, "They were a wall to us both by night and day. All the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all of his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me, see I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing of all that belonged to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." Verse 23. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal." I don't suggest wives calling your husband a scoundrel, okay? But she did in this moment here. Y'all didn't laugh much at that. I guess she, anyway, what? All right. "For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is the name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm, for my Lord be as Nabal. Verse 27. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Now, we see in this passage, first of all, a rude reception in verses 2 through 13. So who is Nabal? Well, in verse 17, it says he's the son of Belial. He was a godless man. Nabal is the name folly, okay? The word actually means one who follows folly, okay? It's associated in the scripture with ungodliness that ultimately brings down judgment. Now, his advantages, Nabal's advantages were great. He belonged to a great family. He was of the house of Caleb. You remember Caleb, who was one of the spies who went in the land and said, we can take this land. And yet the majority report, the other 10 said, oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb was a great warrior, and so he was of the house of Caleb. He possessed an excellent wife. He was very prosperous. In verse 2, he was rich. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. And so he had all of this going for him. It's interesting that even though he had all of that going for him, he still had no fear of the Lord. And he was rude. He was rude to David in this interchange. All right? Now, this was not an unusual request in verses 4 through 9. David had protected them. He sent 10 men to Nabal to say, look, while your shepherds were out in the field, we protected them. And the scripture says we were like a wall surrounding them, not allowing enemies to come in and ransack the sheep that they were shepherding. Everything they took with them, they brought back, and as the scripture says. And so this was not an unusual request for David to say, look, now that you've sheared the sheep, now that you've had some of the first fruits of your reward there, share that with our men who helped you. This was not an unusual request, all right? He says, we did not hurt them, we protected them. But in verse 10, Nabal dishonored David. He said, who is David? Nabal spoke of David as like a runaway slave. He used the term I. Look at verse 11. If you go back and look at verse 11, I circled him in my Bible. He used the word I or my 7 times in that one verse of scripture. And so he was all about himself. And he decided he was not going to help David. He said, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Well, David had been on the run from Saul. Saul was still the king. He was not the king yet. And so David was out on the run, and this was a way for them to have some sustenance by helping those in the field. And this was not an unusual request. But Nabal said, no way, I'm not going to help you. Well, David's reaction is he wanted revenge, as we read in verse 13. Then David said to his men, every man gird on his sword. Put your swords on. We're going to go make this guy pay the price. And he even said, before the sun comes up, every male will be gone. We'll take them out. Now, the second part of this story, we see a humble request coming from Abigail in verses 14 all the way to verse 35. We didn't read that far, but we'll pick up the story. Abigail is told what happened. A trusted confidant came to her and said, Abigail, this is bad. David is coming with 400 men. He's going to take out your husband Nabal. He's going to take all of us out because of the way Nabal treated him. All right? He says in verse 14, he reviled them. He flew on them like a bird of prey, is what that word means. And he reminded her in verse 15 that David's men were very good to him. And that word means that we benefited greatly from David and from what David's men did, all right? And then it says in verse 16, he was like a wall of protection, all right? In verse 17, the passage says that, in verse 17, now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel and one cannot speak of him, all right? So he's making this request and saying this to her. Now, Professor Bergen in the New American Commentary says this: Abigail's initiative and independence were certainly rare for a woman in the ancient Near East. In this case, it was really amazing since it entailed a meeting with one of her husband's enemies. So she was trying to make amends with David. Nabal should have been the leader, but he was known in this context as a scoundrel and a mean person. And here was Abigail, who was going to appeal to David. Interesting, she's going to appeal to him by scripture, because actually what David was doing was David was allowing his anger to take over. This was not a righteous thing that David was going to do. So she goes and she appeals to him, and she fell on her face. She took responsibility and said, "On me let this iniquity be." In verse 25, she says, "I didn't see the young men that were coming. I didn't know that you sent folks here, people here to receive the benefit of all that you did for our people while they were guarding the sheep, while they were shepherding the sheep." And then she encourages him in verse 26. "The Lord has sent me to stop you," basically, is what she was saying. David was embarking on something that he was not righteously able to do. I want you to go back to the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and go to the 19th chapter. Turn in your Bible to the 19th chapter of Leviticus. Look at verse 13 of Leviticus chapter 19. It says, "You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning." In other words, if someone does this work for you, you should pay them. So Nabal was disobeying what should have happened. This was a reasonable request that David had made of Nabal, and we learn that from verse 13. However, if you go over to verse 18 in that same passage, it says this: "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." In this passage and many others, basically it says, let the Lord fight your battles. David, in his anger, see, David had been out running from Saul. He had been with his mighty men. They'd been out and they had protected others, and people had been helping them. And all of a sudden, here's this guy who's angry, Nabal, who's a scoundrel, and he would not help them. And David all of a sudden took it on himself. He said, we're going to wipe these guys out. Put on your swords. And of course, all those mighty men, man, they were ready for a battle. So they all girded up their swords, and David girded up his swords. Here's the problem. In his anger, he was doing this. This was not being obedient to what the scripture taught. This was not what God would have wanted him to do. What would God want us to do when someone wrongs us? We put them in the hands of the Lord. Let God be the judge. Amen? Let God be the judge. And so, but David was going in his own direction. And so, basically, he had wronged David, but nevertheless, the Torah reserved for the Lord alone the right to avenge a wrong in this case. And we see that from Leviticus. There's also a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Now, Abigail says to David, "Don't do this." Your enemies will be like Nabal. You have an enduring house. God will fight the battles for you. And in verse 29, she says, you are bound in the bundle of the living. I want you to look at our passage here in chapter 25, and let me read verse 28 and 29. It says, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. She's encouraging him, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Verse 29, yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living. In other words, God is going to take care of you with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. Let God deal with it. Verse 30, and it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you nor offense of heart. You'll have a clear conscience, he's saying, you will not offend your heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause. It's not just if you go in there and kill him. It's not just if you kill all these people, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. So here she is, a woman of conviction. And church family, listen, this lady confronted David. She basically gave him the truth of God's word and challenged him in the thing that he was about to do. So she challenges him, that this may be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause. Well, look at verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Verse 33, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning, like no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Now, so we see a rude reception that David received from Nabal. We see a humble request that Abigail gave. She's a woman of conviction. She gave this humble request to David. But here's the last thing, and we'll finish up with this. We see an attractive relationship develop here. Well, you say, well, Abigail was married to Nabal. Well, let's read the rest of the story. All right? I want you to look in the passage. After she said to David, you'll break your own conscience, you'll violate God's word. And David said, you know what? You're right. I'm so thankful that you told me that. I'm so thankful that you protected me from that. He said, go back up home in peace and we'll take the gifts you've given me. Verse 36. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house like a feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him. And he became like a stone. Something happened. Something happened to his heart. And then look at this in verse 38. Then it happened after 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Nabal died. Verse 39. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. In other words, God has avenged me, David said, and protected me from doing something I shouldn't have done. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head, and David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Verse 41. Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. An attractive relationship developed. It's interesting that in her conviction and saying truth to David, David had met his match. He had met someone that had stood for God, and it was very, very attractive to him, evidently. And when Nabal died, David didn't help Nabal die, but the Lord took him. David said, I want that woman of conviction to be my wife. And so he did. I never forget the story that James Dobson used to be for many, 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 many years on Focus on the Family, that he told about when he met Shirley. They were students in college. He was a senior. She was a freshman. He started dating Shirley, and they fell in love, and they were spending time. And James Dobson, he was a senior, so he was kind of like big man on campus. And so he thought to himself, he said, you know, I'm dating this freshman girl. He said, man, I should be dating around. So one night they're driving, and he's talking to Shirley, and he says, Shirley, I think we ought to date around. She said, oh, really? And James thought, boy, she's going to really be brokenhearted. She's going to really be upset about this. And so he said, I'm going to kind of let her down easy. So he said, yeah, you know, I'm a senior, and you got all these years here at the school. Said, you know, you really ought to date around, and I probably should date around a little bit too. You know, I'm a senior and captain of the tennis team, the whole deal. I think it was at USC he was at, there at USC. She said, okay. Dobson said, I was kind of surprised by the answer. So I pulled up to her dorm, and I went around, opened the door, and let her out. I walked her to the door and said, can I kiss you goodnight? She said, I don't think so. Good night. She walked in and closed the door. James Dobson, talking to several hundred college students about them having their identity in Christ and not in their relationships, he told the story. When he told that story, he said he came away from that door and he got in the car and he said to himself, you dummy. You love that girl. That girl's got conviction. So he drove off. Later he found out that she opened the door, went inside, and cried her eyes out because she loved him. But she didn't let him know it. And Dobson later on said to her, hey, let's get back together. And they did. I think about Billy Graham was at Wheaton College, and there was a girl there named Ruth. She's the daughter of a missionary in China. And Billy Graham was this slick guy, good looking, tall, thin guy had come from Florida, tanned and everything. And so he was going to date Ruth, and he said, Ruth, I'd like to date. And she said, I don't think so. She said, you're not committed enough. You're not committed. I want to marry a missionary. Well, after some time, she realized the Lord was in it. But it's interesting how that it's so powerful, a woman of godly conviction. So here's the conclusion for today. You know, men, we're to be the spiritual leaders of our home. We're to set a standard for our children. We're to love our wives. And many times our wives have wisdom for us about things. It's very important. And then ladies, you live by the word of God and encourage your men. I heard this week a friend has been attending our church told me the story of Catherine von Bora. She was the wife of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther had bouts with depression, and of course, you know, Martin Luther had written the 95 Theses, and basically the Reformation was a result of all that he and others had done to rebel against the Catholic Church and all the indulgences and things that were earning your way to salvation. And so, you know, Luther was making a tremendous impact, but he battled with some things and he got depressed. And one day he came to the table and his wife, Catherine, was dressed in black. She had a veil over her head, and he said, "Who died?" And Catherine von Bora said, "You hadn't heard? God died." That's what she told him. God died. He said, "What do you mean God died?" She said, the living God who you put your faith and trust in, who gave you the 95 theses and the burden to share the gospel the way you have shared the gospel, he must have died because you've given up on trusting him." And Luther just broke out in laughter. And God used that in a tremendous way to encourage him. Well, I think about the impact of a woman of conviction. I think about young college students, young men who are looking for God to raise up a young lady in their life. Tom Nelson, who was the pastor at Denton Bible Church, used to say this. He'd say, "Young men, you run hard after God. I mean, you run hard after God." And he said, "When you're running hard after God, if you look to the left and there's this really cute girl going in the same direction that loves Jesus, take another look." That's the way he put it. And so we are to value the lesson of a woman of conviction we find in Abigail. I'm thankful that moms today, I'm thankful for the ladies in our lives that are ladies of conviction that encourage and bolster and build life into their children, build life into their relationship with their husbands, and those they disciple and encourage. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer together as we go to the Lord in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.